Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Jan Newman, the champion of Grow Palmer. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here on this cold morning. -6, I think I saw on my way in.
Yeah.
It's definitely deep, dark winter and feels a little weird to be talking about summer growing activities, but we got to start sometime, right? Before we jump into all about Grow Palmer, a couple of quick announcements. Another reminder to listeners that it's time to pick, click, and give. Is Grow Palmer on Pick, Click, Give?
We are not yet.
You are not. Okay. But Radio Free Palmer is part of Pick, Click, Give, and the Alaska Farmland Trust, is part of Pick, Click, Give. So we encourage folks to get their applications for their PFD in by March 31st and perhaps designate some of those funds towards one of the many worthy organizations. And the other exciting announcement is that we finally got things together to reschedule our Winter Drink Beer Save Farms event.
Yay!
Yeah, what a nightmare that was to have to cancel that show and then to try and reschedule with all of the different players involved. But ta-da, we did it. And the super saturated sugar strings will be playing music for us at 49 State Brewing Company on Tuesday, March 27th. So a month from yesterday, we will drink beer and save farms at 49 State Brewing. And we're all very excited to pull that back together. So the Facebook event and the ticket sales will launch today. So hopefully folks will join us and we'll have another fun event.
Sounds great.
Yeah. But let's talk now about Grow Palmer, Jan. I walked the Edible Rail Trail yesterday and it was
deep
in snow. Yeah, my dog was like lunging through, you know, the mounds. The office dog was trying to enjoy it. Let's start with what is Grow Palmer? People have seen the signs, but maybe they don't know.
Well, Grow Palmer is a community project that was started, well, this will be our sixth growing season.
Wow, okay.
So it started in 2013, and it stemmed from a TED Talk that I saw, actually, about a couple of women in a small community in England that thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to plant food on these empty verges along the outskirts of town or alongside roads and whatnot. And I just thought that would be the coolest thing to do in Palmer.
Yeah.
I had never really been a community organizer, and I didn't have a clue where to start. But I started just by talking to my family and friends and acquaintances, and pretty much everybody thought it was a very viable and cool idea. Ultimately, I got up, you know, the women in England did it sort of guerrilla gardening style. They just went out and planted things and asked for forgiveness rather than permission. And that didn't quite feel right to me. So eventually I got up the nerve to go and talk to our then mayor, Delana Johnson, who, without whom this project never would have gotten launched. She thought it was a great idea and pointed me in the right direction and introduced me to the city gardener, who then gave us a couple of small areas that the city typically would plant with flowers and bedding plants. And so that was our first year. We applied for a small grant and got some money, and we had a little area to plant, and we just planted edibles, mostly vegetables and some edible flowers. And it's grown every year since.
Absolutely.
We built the edible park, which was a partnership with the Salvation Army. That was a couple of years later in 2015. Unfortunately, that property then got sold.
Right.
And that is when we made arrangements with the city as well as the railroad and built what we now call the Edible Rail Trail north of the depot.
Yeah. So that's a, how long is that stretch? The trail itself from the depot out to the Glen Highway or
the old Glen.
That's probably a half a mile.
It's a half a mile, probably. Yeah. We have just planted or constructed planting areas on probably about 400 or 500 feet. So we put the first part of the Edible Rail Trail in 2016 and then added on to it, extended it a little bit last year.
Right.
So I think it's about 500 feet long, but, you know, we just plant in those concrete rounds.
Right.
So it's kind of an atypical vegetable growing area.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful, and I think it's really complementary to that trail, which is really our most popular urban trail in the downtown area.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then scattered throughout town, there's some whiskey barrels and other sorts of planters as well, right?
There are whiskey barrels along the main street on Alaska Street here, starting from down by the Pioneer Home. I don't know the name of that street.
Right.
Fireweed, I think.
Does anybody know the street?
No. And then it goes all the way north to... I don't know what that road is either, but
yeah,
it goes about maybe 8 or 10 blocks.
Right.
And then we have a couple of other in-ground plantings at the intersection where the four-way stop is,
yep.
Right in the heart of town.
Right
you
out
can
the window
see it
here.
From here.
Yeah.
And directly across the street in the raised rectangular bed in front of the depot.
Yeah. So lots of edibles being grown, lots of vegetables being grown. And I think when folks just walk by it and they see the planters planted and they think, oh, look at that. But the point isn't just for people to look. You know, what is the real idea behind it?
So the point is for it's a means of bringing people together. It's a means of sort of providing an opportunity for community engagement. But moreover, it's a means of really encouraging people to grow their own food, to seek out our local producers and farmers, of which we have a plethora of here, and to just kind of raise awareness about food security in Alaska and where our food comes from.
Yeah.
So we encourage, we're all volunteers, and we plant all of the aforementioned areas with the intent of people helping themselves and sampling the food.
Yeah.
So everything in the gardens is edible, the flowers, the herbs, the vegetables. And we try to put up signs that let people know that it's here for you to sample.
Yeah. I was noticing on the big sign that I posted this morning, it says, growing food for all to share. Take only what you need and take the time to pull a weed. Please harvest responsibly.
Yes.
Man, I love that.
So
well
the idea is, you know, I think initially there was a little concern by small farmers and other growers that we were giving away food.
Sure.
And that's really, you know, sort of a conflict of interest to them. But, you know, the areas that we plant are meant to be beautiful and informative and educational. There's not enough food out there to feed our community, and
No. That's
not the intent.
Yeah.
The intent is to sample new things, to try something maybe that you haven't tried already, and to find those producers and growers that are here producing enough food for you to purchase locally.
Right. So a quick reminder to listeners, if you just tuned in this morning to Ag Matters Radio, I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Jan Newman, I like to call the champion of Grow Palmer. I know we'd struggled at once with what to call you and what your title should be, right? Because you don't, it's not an official group, it's not a business, it's not really even an organization, but I think champion is a good title.
Well, thank you.
Will you take that one?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Yes. We consider ourselves a civic association.
Okay.
So anyone and everyone can be involved. You don't have to be a Palmer resident. You don't have to pay dues. You know, if you live, work, play, or worship here, you're included.
Yeah, very good. So let's get back to what you were starting to mention about the side of the equation, about raising awareness about what is grown in Palmer and connecting people to their food and their food options. So what does Grow Palmer do in that regard? You post about available foods and farmers that have products for sale.
So we do. We've partnered with a great many organizations in the area. We're sort of excited about some new partnerships this year, but to answer your question directly, we do post on Facebook various places where people can go and find food. We also have what we call the market board, which is a dry erase board that's inside of a, you know, closed dry frame that the Public Works Department here in Palmer graciously erects and takes down for us in the spring and fall. And on that, we post weekly updates of where people can find local food sources. Okay. So we would encourage anyone with any food that they might have for sale, whether it's eggs or honey or meat or produce, to get in touch with us, and we would give them a free listing on our market board so okay. that people can find them.
And members of the public this spring and summer, if they're looking for the market board, where is mm-hmm. it located?
So it's directly across from the visitor center in downtown Palmer. It's in the parking lot where we hold the Friday Fling.
Right. Okay. And so you said get in touch with Grow Palmer. How does one get in touch with Grow Palmer?
So the easiest way is growpalmer@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then a Facebook, of course.
Yeah. The good old Facebook. Does Grow Palmer have a website?
We do have a website. It's not terrifically updated or okay. maintained, but there is a place there to read about what we do and to donate if you're so inclined.
Okay. And every once in a while you have swag for sale, right? Some totes?
We
and
do. We still have some totes. Okay. We have sold out of all of our t-shirts.
It's a great logo.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
We have a handful of totes left, and we are just getting organized for this year, so we haven't really talked about it, but we may do some Friday flings and offer them there. They have also been available from various merchants who have supported Grow Palmer, who will sell them for us as well. So it's a means of making money for the organization to buy starts and soil amendments and those kinds of things.
Yeah. So it's a cold, wintry day out there right now, but it won't be long before that's what's on the agenda, right? Those
exactly
plantings and preparing the soil and the fertilizer and all those things. So do you keep a list of names of people that want to be involved, or how should folks?
So we have, of course, the Facebook following. We also have a email group of those folks who would prefer to be contacted via email or whom are not on Facebook. And then we often post flyers throughout town as well. And we've just sort of started organizing for this year. We have partnered with Seeds and Soil Organics.
Oh, good.
And they have provided a tremendous amount of expertise in terms of soil amendments, soil building, companion planting, and perennials. They do a lot of educational things. So they've helped us. They have also encouraged us to do some soil building through cover crops.
Okay.
And the Plant Material Center has agreed to donate those to us this year, which we're also excited about.
Oh, good.
So we'll have some additional volunteer opportunities this year because we'll be prepping and planting cover crops
twice
before our big planting day.
Oh, okay. So you're going to do some like spring cover crops.
We're going to do spring cover crops, and then a little non-traditionally, whereas they would normally be grown throughout the summer and turned in yeah. August. We're going to just grow them for about a month and turn them in
okay.
to provide green manure to our vegetable starts that we'll put in a month later.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And I'm more familiar with cover crops that are typically put in the fall mm-hmm. and hold the soil all winter. But
right.
are you going to try that, you think? Or
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We may look into that. We definitely could use some green manure in the planting areas that
yeah.
we have. I think that would be a great soil amendment. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get a planting in the fall. It's usually a busy time harvesting and cleaning up the beds for the winter.
Sure. Racing
yes.
Mother Nature, right?
Yes.
Right. So, Jan, this is kind of an unfair question. I should have prepped you for this one a little bit, and it's okay to say I don't know. But in terms of number of plants that you guys put in the ground, do you have any idea of like how many hundreds or?
If I did a quick calculation. Because
there's a lot of planters around town, and mm-hmm. the Edible Rail Trail has a lot of growing space. I'm just thinking about the time needed and the.
I would think, I'm just guessing, I'm throwing out a number here, but we order about 30 to 50 flats of plants every year. And
okay.
some of those may have 36
right.
cells in them. Some of them may have 72. So okay. Easily 1,000 plants yeah. go in the ground.
Very good. That's awesome. Very good. And so that's where the funds come in, is because you're buying those.
We are. We've also purchased some seeds and we've done some direct planting, but okay. we have found we've had greater success
Absolutely.
With planting starts. And that's another new partnership we have this year that I'm super excited about, is Spring Creek Farm is oh, starting yeah. all of our plants this year.
Oh, good. Very good. I was going to ask you about that. What mm-hmm. greenhouse you're getting your starts from and mm-hmm. whether you have any greenhouse space to hold things over or.
So the first few years, we asked for donations from home gardeners and farmers who, you know, typically, at least a home gardener such as myself, typically starts way more plants than I have room for.
Right.
And many of them I give to neighbors or end up in the compost pile because I just don't have room for 25 yeah. tomato plants. But so the first few years we collected donated starts from okay. a lot of home gardeners, backyard gardeners. And that worked out great. But as the planting areas expanded and we had a greater area to plant and we want it to look beautiful for the city throughout the season.
Sure.
So we're really kind of try to design and lay out the gardens in a way that's pleasing to everyone. So we ended up purchasing them.
Yeah. So it is kind of planned out what you want, types of products, what's going to last all year, multiple cuttings, all those types of things.
Exactly. And what's going to grow well together, what's going to look good together, what is going, you know, how to plant them together such that when one thing is harvested, there's still something there growing that's
right.
edible.
Right. Wow. A lot of thought and planning goes into that side of it then. I wouldn't have a clue of how to get started on that side of it. Oh, yeah, let's just put these carrots with this lettuce and see what happens.
That works.
Very good. Well, another reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Jan Newman, the champion of our Grow Palmer. What did you call it? A civic?
A civic association.
Civic association. I like it. I like it. Jan, it's occurred to me that I typically start the show by asking my guests to tell me a little about themselves and their connection to Alaska and Alaska agriculture. And although we're in our third little portion of the show, I'd love for you to do that part.
I have been in Alaska since 1988. I came up as I was completing a Bachelor's of Science in Seattle area, and having come from New England, this was the closest I'd ever been to Alaska, so I applied for a job in Alaska, and I accepted a position in Fairbanks at the Geophysical Institute there. And you know how it does. Alaska got under the skin, and I went back and finished my degree and packed up my truck and drove the Alcan.
Okay.
So I've been in Alaska since 89 and have been a gardener for almost 40 years now. And you know, I ended up marrying and raising a family here on Lazy Mountain and have grown food for our family for many years. And I love the agricultural history that's here in Palmer.
Yeah.
And so Grow Palmer just seemed like a nice extension of those passions.
Yeah. No, it's been a beautiful concept to watch unfold. But so you didn't necessarily grow up on a farm or pursue
no.
a degree in ag?
Nope, none of that.
You're just
a backyard grower for
yeah.
my own use.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, I think that's such a Alaskan thing, especially when you talk about starting too many plants. Like, that's such an Alaskan image, is
yeah.
these kitchens and windows and everything just overflowing with baby plants. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't really think that happens in other areas. Maybe it does, but I've not really seen it the
yeah.
way it's so common up here.
It may be because it's so dark and so cold, and by now we're just so ready for that. My seed order arrived, what, yesterday or the day before when 14 inches of snow fell, and it just seemed so wrong somehow
right.
that my seeds were here.
Yeah, I think everyone is just so ready for more light that they're willing to start plugging in their grow lights and just
exactly.
please let it come, let it come. So do you have any, getting back to Grow Palmer, do you have any dates scheduled for like first volunteer opportunities or any of that on the books yet?
So we don't have, you know, of course, it's very weather dependent. We don't have any specific dates in mind,
okay.
but those things will be forthcoming via Facebook and and email, as well as flyers. As I said earlier, we will have a couple of extra volunteer opportunities for people because we will be doing cover crops as early as possible. So I'm hoping that that can happen as early as the end of April.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it would be lovely to get all of the Grove Palmer planting areas in by the end of May. Memorial Day is always what we aim for, and sometimes we're delayed, but
yeah,
that's kind of a rough timeline.
Sure. And with the above ground planter boxes, I would assume that soil heats up faster and you're maybe a little bit ahead of commercial growers that are getting crops in the ground, or
that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm not sure. You know, certainly raised beds do warm up more quickly, but I don't know exactly the timeline of the larger producers in the area when they actually get things in the ground.
Right. And I would also think, and again, just throwing this out here, with the concrete rounds, you'd think that they'd heat the soil up more too.
Yes,
right?
Those heat up. The one thing about those that sometimes prohibits an early planting is that we have a sprinkler system installed.
Yeah.
That comes from the water and power comes from the depot building and then extends the length of the edible rail trail. And so that's a system that we winterize, of course, in the fall, and it has to be started up again in the spring. And we don't usually start it up before mid to late May. So there again, it's very dependent on the schedules of those powers that be that do that, as well as the snow cover and whatever the weather is.
Yeah. Lots of different players involved and things that have to work out. Jan, are there raspberries along the edible rail trail?
So we have, yes and no.
Okay.
We have planted raspberries. There's a sort of spur trail.
Yeah.
That we have a nice path on both sides of with the idea that where we planted raspberries with the idea that once they take hold, we could harvest from both sides. The first planting, which was done in the fall, did not winter over.
Okay.
Last year, we replanted in the spring, and they didn't seem to do so well last summer. For some reason, they grow like weeds everywhere except where you want them. So I'm not sure about the success of those. We have agreed sort of as a loose group that we would try one more time to get raspberries started in there.
Okay.
But I also want to just add that we are hoping to put in some perennials along the edible rail trail, and that would include strawberries amongst other sort of greens that can winter over here.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get some strawberries. If the raspberries don't take hold, I'm actually considering putting blueberries along there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Since we're all blueberry fans.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe some of those
Hascaps
honeyberries or other small fruit-bearing trees that I've learned about because of this job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Salmon berries, any number of things have the potential to grow there. So.
So some more kind of unfair kind of trivia questions that I've thought of. What do you think is the most popular thing when you watch the plots get harvested by folks? What goes fastest?
Well, I would say greens, lettuce, Swiss chard, kale, those things tend to get harvested more quickly. And those are things that we have in part because of their popularity, but also because of the nature of a public food program. Those are the things that we're steering towards this year. We found that heavier crops like cauliflower and broccoli and even some cabbages, you know, they take quite a bit longer.
Sure.
And when people are, you know, cruising by the gardens, if they see a small head of broccoli, they might harvest it, which we welcome and encourage. But that small head of broccoli might have doubled in size had it been left for another week or so.
Sure.
And so because those things mature more slowly, I don't think we get quite as much bang for the buck.
Sure. So those lettuces and other greens that come back or, you know,
cut and come again greens,
yeah,
or things that will continue growing if you harvest them responsibly a couple inches above the soil, and they'll keep growing.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, as we're wrapping things up, what are you most looking forward to with Grow Palmer this summer? What's something new that you can tell us about?
I'm really excited about the new partnerships that I've mentioned already.
Can you name any of those?
Well, the ones with the Plant Materials Center, Season Soils, and Spring Creek Farm.
Right.
But the thing that I look the most forward to is something that I did not anticipate at all when I first started thinking about and considering doing a public food program, and that is the community engagement piece, the social interaction with people that I may never have otherwise crossed paths with.
Okay.
And that just fills me with so much joy. I've met some incredible people from different parts of our community in different stages of life. And it's the best part about building a healthy, vibrant community.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I'm glad that it's brought that piece to the table. That's a great, great little anecdote. One final question about are you guys monitoring the food bed such that food doesn't go to waste and you make sure it gets somewhere before it is not usable?
We do. Which brings me to our little side program. I thank you for reminding me. We have what we call Adopt-A-Plot, which is an opportunity for families or individuals or organizations to adopt a small area, as big or small as they like, to just tend for the summer.
Okay.
And so they deadhead and weed and whatnot and just keep that one small area looking good. And that way the gardens always look nice. It also means that they can get in touch with the powers that be and say, hey, you know, our area has a ton of Swiss chard and nobody's harvesting it. And then we can promote that and let people know. We can post that and email people and say, hey, you know, go on out. This area has a huge amount of food that's ready for you.
Okay. So another way for folks to get involved, Adopt-A-Plot.
Yes, yeah. Adopt-A-Plot.
All right. Well, Jan, thank you so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio to talk about Grow Palmer. I've definitely learned some stuff, and I look forward to seeing it flourish again this summer.
Thanks so much, and I hope to see you in the garden.
Okay.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.